Parsha Vayeshev is always a parasha that either is together with Hanukkah, okay, either together the week of Hanukkah or the week before Hanukkah, and there's a lot of connections between the parashas, and therefore I'm going to try and connect as much as I can the parasha to Inyan HaDiyoma. We discussed last year and in previous years there's a very, very important, very fascinating report that the Balei Musa say that where Yosef was sold, the parasha says that Orchis Yishmaelim came along. Yeah, the caravan of Yishmaelim came along, and Peret Lamed Zayin Pasuk Chof Ches Vayavra Noshim Midyonim Sukrim. A caravan Yishmaelim were coming, Megillah, Ugmalehem, Noisim, Nachoyes, Utsriva, Lot, Hochim, Lahoid, Mitzrayim. And they were carrying all these different kinds of nice smelling items taken down to Mitzrayim. So the parasha again is a very fascinating parasha. Why on earth do we talk about exactly what they brought down from the shrine? Who cares? Who cares what the Yishmaelim were carrying? In other words, he was dealing with a case where Yosef had an ongoing machlekes with his brothers. You know, whether what they're doing is right, what they're doing is wrong, whether it's Lashon Hara, whether it's let's say LS, a whole discussion, a whole Lomdusha discussion. If you look in Parsha Shlach and the Kesef Mishnah, talks about whether there's a din of Bnei Yisrael Chumra or Dafka Lekula before Matan Torah, a whole Lomdusha Machlekes over here. They thought he's born with Malchus and there's a Rei Deif, a whole backwards and forwards, a whole. Eventually, he didn't think it goes quite as far as this. They take it and they chuck him in a boyer. Yeah, boyer, no problem. My main can, no water inside there, Nechoshim and Kravim Yeshkan, there's only snakes and scorpions, yeah, no problem, he's very comfortable. Then, you know what, the Yishmael, Reuben said, you know what, there's no point putting him in a boyer, let's go and sell him. They sell their own brother into slavery. Now, Rabbi say, you have to know what slavery was, right? Slavery does not mean, you take a guy and you sell him to work in paper delivery. The way to Mitzrayim, it's brought down in a Medrash, that an Eved never left Mitzrayim. And Eved never left Mitzrayim. Never. Ever. We'll see how the man should do that. But Eved never left Mitzrayim. Ever. So basically they're sending him to a future that is completely the end of Yosef and his family and his grandchildren and great-grandchildren forever. They're cutting off a part of themselves. And Yosef knew that. Oh, but what happened? They're going past and the Shema'elim weren't carrying paraffin that usually carry, which is not very... They were carrying aftershave. Baruch Hashem, oh what a difference. I'm going into slavery, Baruch Hashem is aftershave. You know, if it'd be paraffin, that would be bad. Be sold with paraffin, that's terrible. But Baruch Hashem, these guys, these Matthew people are taking me down to Mitzrayim to basically kill me. But Baruch Hashem, they're carrying aftershave. You know, they smell good at least. What's a vote? One vote we discussed was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gives a person a tzar, he'll give a person a tzar to the perfect degree of the tzar he's supposed to get. In other words, you don't think a person, a person's ill, Rachmana Litzlan, a person has cancer. Hashem should never, ever allow. You know, Chas v'Shalom, a person has cancer. And a person sitting in the bed, never with no hair, and Rachmana Litzlan, difficulty in breathing, he thinks a Kosh Baruch has forsaken him. Nothing. And every pain is just like a Kosh Baruch has completely removed himself, has nothing to do with where he is, way, way outside of hospital, nowhere near where he is, and he's just suffering. Says his pasuk, no. That when it comes to suffering, Yosef may be supposed to be going to Mitzrayim, and he may be suffering in Mitzrayim, and he may be. But, you know what? He doesn't deserve to go with people who are carrying oil. He's going to go with people who have aftershave. The amount of how much a person's supposed to suffer is a small amount. Not only that, not what it smells like, but the Mefarshim say that aftershave, you don't need huge buckets of aftershave, right? Because a little, you smuggle a few, it's worthwhile, right? With oil, you need big tankers. So, since they're carrying small packets, they didn't have to climb up so high onto the donkey to go to the Yishmaelim. He had to carry, it was less tircha for him. And that less tircha was planned in Shemayim to the nth degree how much a person should suffer. That's how much a person should suffer, not more than that. And that is the degree of how much a person should understand that Rabbeinu Shalom is with him. Person, with a person. and that amount he was supposed to suffer, he'll suffer not a tiny bit more, not a tiny bit less. That's one pshat. The other pshat is that the fact, and this is a fantastic thing, I feel it with myself. Baruch Hashem, I haven't been sold by my brothers, and I'm going into slavery. But fundraising has there are certain similarities. going to endless slavery. But there is similarity to an extent where I've sometimes seen it where before you start off on a fundraising trip, certain shatish might happen. Like, I just happened to meet one of my donors in the airport. Right? I happened to meet him in the airport. I happened to meet him on the plane. Wow! You know? So instead of me having to go and phone him up and meet him in his house, yeah? I've got him stuck on the airplane now for five and a quarter hours. And now I can really hassle him heavily on the plane. He can't go anywhere. Okay? And he can't say he's not home. He can't say he doesn't answer his phone. He's sitting right there. And how much is this guy going to give me? He's 180 pounds. 180 pounds. Fine. But I see that as Seth Dishmaya, and I see that my whole trip is going to be different. In other words, you can see, you can keep your eyes open, and because you see something is different, you know everything else is going to be okay as well. That changes your whole way of looking at things. Yosef saw that because it was different to what was usual, usually carried oil. Now it didn't carry oil, they carried aftershave. The fact that they did that, the fact they were carrying that shows that Kosh Baruch was with him. And if Kosh Baruch was with you, nothing can happen to you. But in order to see that, you have to have eyes. In order to see that, you've got to focus. Now, the fascinating Rashi. Rashi says in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, he was talking about David HaMelech, and David HaMelech is fighting against Goliath, coming to Shaul's camp to fight against Goliath. So Shaul looks at a little puny David, a mighty Goliath, and he doesn't really see that, you know, the heavyweight against the featherweight is going to go too far. So David said to him, what are you talking about? You should know, I was a shepherd for my father for the sheep. And a bear came and a lion came. And I killed both. It was really two ariv. It was a ariv with two little cubs in it. In other words, I killed a lion and I killed a bear. And if you think I can't, see, in other words, if I can do that, I can do this too. Says Rashi, Hashem asher hitzileni miyad ha'ari. The prophet says, Hashem who saved me from the ari, he'll save me from Goliath too. Says Rashi, Rabbi Yisai, this should change your life. Yedea ani, I know. Shaloi lechinom nizdam li hadova havu. It was not for no reason that this happened to me. Ero shalo osid ani bo liyodi ki yotze bezeh l'tshuat Yisrael. I know that Kodesh Baruch Hu sent me this lion and this bear to fight against and to win over. Because I know in the future Hashem will allow me to help Klal Yisrael as well. Ve'esmoich oleho ve'etze. And I'll rely on it and I'll go out. Ve'ze'echol mishnei tzadikim. This is a very, very important. Ve'ze'echol mishnei tzadikim. This is one or two tzadikim. She'nosan lehem remez ve'choshu lahaskil ledovo. Hashem gave them a remez and they picked up on it and they understood the remez and they moved on. Who were they? Dovid and Mordechai. Dovid and Melech. And Mordechai. Shnema, ubechol yoyim v'yem Mordechai nitalif nei achotzer. And what happened to him with the whole thing with a hearing about Bigson v'seresh, what did they do? Lo lechinam also b'tzit kazer shenitzitzo b'mishka v'orla ve'elo shasida hilamo yisrael b'yoyim tzoro. Mordechai knew that this is going to help in the future. In other words, Rabbi Yisai, there's some very, very dark times. Very, very dark times. But the way to survive difficult times is to see the light, to see where Kodesh Baruch Hu is, yes, helping you. Where the Kodesh Baruch Hu helping me now, and that is a sign that Kodesh Baruch Hu is with you. It's a fascinating medrash. The medrash says, that a man was going with his ten camels, laden with food and wine. No, ten donkeys, laden with food and wine, says the medrash. Laden with food and wine. Says the medrash, what happened? One of the donkeys went, and the donkey that had wine on his back went into a shop that the goyim were a tavern or something, a pub. So the man left his nine donkeys that were laden with the other foods and drinks, whatever it was, and went to follow this donkey that went with the wine to the goyim. So the family asked him, why did you leave nine? He goes, what's the rove? So I asked him, why did you leave 9? You go off the road, go after the 9, leave that one. He said, no, the difference is this one, if the goyim touch it, I'm in big trouble. It's lost, because it's wine. If goyim touch the wine, it's yain nesach. The other 9, don't worry. They'll sort themselves out. That's a moshel, says the Medrash. Kach, says the Medrash with the Kali Yisrael as well. Says the Medrash that Yosef had all his brothers in Mitzrayim, in Eretz Yisrael. And his pasuk says, Vayihi Hashem Imoy. And Hashem was with Yosef wherever he was in Mitzrayim, with Potiphar, in prison. Hashem was with him. What's Pshat? Pshat is that in the darkest times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Klal Yisrael. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu let the other ones by themselves. They'll be okay. They're with Yitzhak, they're with Yaakov, they're fine. But this one Yosef, we thought he was abandoned. This one Yosef, who looks as if things are really, really sad and terrible, Hashem was with him. Therefore, from the darkest times, the Posh got to see and focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, and we'll realize not only is Hashem with us, he's with us more than he's ever with us. And that is why, says the Kedushas Levi, and the Kedushas Levi said, that is why Chanukah is at the end of the month. Chanukah comes on the 25th of the month. Every other Yom is either beginning of the month, Rosh Hashanah, the 10th, the 15th. The 25th is hardly any Levana there anymore. There's hardly any Levana there. There's nothing there. End of the month. You know, people don't get married at the end of the month because bad mazel. It's end of the month, right? And here, Pumtan Chanukah goes at the end of the month. Why? To show that even in the darkest times, even the times when it's Choshech Legamri, when it's completely dark, there's a new beginning. Even the darkest times of Chanukah and the darkest times of the Golus, where the Yevonim were fighting Yiddishkeit, no, we can stand up and we can fight back. We just got to get that glimpse, we've got to get the light at the end of the tunnel and fight with it. That's why Dafka, in those particular times, we have Chanukah, and that is why Dafka, Kosh Baruch Hu, sent the message with the aftershave, and that's the idea behind as well, that Medrash was Dovin HaMelech as well. So the Pasuk says, I'm sure all of you have seen this pasuk many times, and I possibly want you to. Right, I just want to throw a question over here. Perek Lamed Zayin pasuk Chof Aleph. Lamed Zayin pasuk Chof Aleph. Vayishma Reuven. Vayishma Reuven v'yatzileu mi'adam. Reuven heard and he saved him from the hand. What did Reuven hear? That's Poshmashat, right? Poshmashat, he heard. But why Yishma Reuven? Everyone heard. Come on, Yishma Reuven.
Hashem.
And Reuven wanted to take... Reuven heard something. What? And nobody else heard something? Although the Poshmashat is saying Reuven heard and nobody else. If you want to say Reuven acted, nobody else acted, that's something else. But Yishma Reuven means Reuven heard and nobody else heard. So obviously something's being said that nobody's hearing. What did he hear that nobody else heard?
That it was incorrect what they were doing.
But what did he... Okay, absolutely. But what's by Yishma? Now what did he hear? What was being said that he heard and nobody else heard? Reuven heard it and nobody else. What did he hear that nobody else heard?
Yaakov blaming him. He was the oldest there, so he was in charge of everyone. He was responsible for everyone.
So you heard the call of being a Bechor. Okay. Yep. Granted. Good shot. The pasuk says a second, the pasuk says in the pasuk beforehand, let's go and kill him. And we'll say, and let's see what will be with his dreams. Who said that? Who said that? Says Rashi, on Rabbi Yitzchok. Nikrazo imedarshena Rucha Kodesh and Meres Kain. Rucha Kodesh says, Mayil Chalamoisov. The Pasuk says, Rucha Kodesh says, hey, you trying to kill him? Let's see what's going to be with his dreams. By Yishma Reuven heard that. Reuven heard that. Do you see? In other words, it's impossible. He heard Ruach HaKodesh. The Nevuah, the Baskol came out and said, you trying to kill him? You wait, let's see what's going to be with his dreams. In other words, you trying to kill him? I've got different plans. Reuven heard it. And Reuben said, okay, we can't kill him. Why didn't anyone else hear it? Why didn't anyone... What happened to him? Why did he hear it, nobody else? There's a famous Gemara in Tainus, the Ponim Yofus. The Ponim Yofus is a Haflo. He answers the Gemara in Tainus. Remember the Gemara in Tainus? Also in Rabbi Yochanan. Also in Rabbi Yochanan were both learning Torah. And they both decided one day that what's going to be, going to make a panosa. So they both went and decided to go and work. Sitting under a wall, and they him and there's Malachim speaking behind the wall, and they say, look at these people. They're busy with Shah, they're busy with today's and physical needs. Let's go and kill them. So Ilfa, Rabbi Yechon said to Ilfa, did you hear something? I said, nope, didn't hear anything. Rabbi Yechon said, because I heard, I'm going to go back to Yeshiva. And he became the great Rabbi Yechon, and Ilfa was also great, but he didn't find anyone near like Rabbi Yechon. Okay? Says a hafla, that's Peshat over here by Reuven. There's a bas kol helech every day. A voice goes out every day and says, lucky to those people from HaChayr, from HaSinai, he says, lucky to those people learning Torah. And woe to those people who don't learn Torah. Now, does anyone hear that bas kol? Ask them a farsh, if nobody can hear it, what's the point of the bas kol? And if people can hear it, then why can't we hear it? The Torah says, it says Baal Shem, that people who suddenly have a desire to learn Torah, they've heard it. A person who can leave university, a person who can leave their job, a person who can leave what they're doing and sit in the yeshiva, that the neshama has heard that bas kol. That is a bas kol. Bas kol is loud, but the problem is we close it up. We're not in the same tuning. Reuven was so in touch with reality that he heard the bas kol. Nobody else heard it. There's so many voices going around the world. There's so much going on. In this room, there's thousands and thousands of airwaves buzzing backwards and forwards, you know? We can't see, we don't feel it. You know, something boing, that's Reshet Bed, and a bang, that's BBC, and a boing, that's CNN. We don't feel it, but you put inside here a system that can actually pick it up, the transmitter can pick it up, it'll show you. It'll show you the images and the voices, everything. The Yishma Reuven means there's a certain time that not only like Yosef, you got to see things. You've got to be able to focus on the small details that's going to change your life. Sometimes you've got to hear the small, quiet voices in you, and that's going to change your life too. And that changed Reuven. That changed Reuven's life forever. Yishma Reuven Yetzalei Miyodom. Reuven was the one who saved Klal Yisrael. He heard something, a faint little thing. What is it already? He could have just ignored it. No. He did something about it, and he changed his life. And basically, this is a very, very important lesson. Now, Arizal says, many other Sefer Kabbalah say that every person in this world has a tachlis. Everyone in this world has a tachlis. Everyone. And a person can learn through an entire Chol HaTorah Kulo. And he can learn, he can do mamash Tehillim every day. But if you have not corrected the tachlis that came to this world, you have not fulfilled what Kosh Baruch Hu sent this world to do, and you failed. How do you know what your tachlis is? We don't have a Navi today. It's very difficult. Probably biggest Yetzer Hara is the greatest tachlis. That sometimes you get a knock at the door, and there's somebody standing by the door there, and you possibly don't hear the knock, or we ignore the knock, and that could be the tachlis. That could be, this could be the man that you hurt in the last Gilgal. This could be the man who you know, you're supposed to do the tachlis, you're supposed to help him. And you help him, that's it, you've done your tikkun. And you don't hear the knock. Mi yedea, says Mordechai. Mi yedem im ka'esa zois ba'asala malchus. Mordechai said to Esther, don't hang around there, who knows? Maybe this is exactly why he came to the malchus. Maybe he came to the queen just in order to help Klal Yisrael. Who knows? This is the tachlis. All this happened today just because of this. Maybe we're in this whole world just to answer this call of a person who needs our chesed, a person who needs our ear, a person who needs our sympathy, who needs a shoulder to lean on. This is the idea over here, that Reuven heard something nobody else heard. Why? Because maybe they all heard it, but he tuned into it. He understood that I'm going to be supposed to do something about it. Yishma Reuven. There's nine Matera, very big story this. There's nine Matera is the Lutzkarov. Yeah, there's nine Matera, here's one of the Magid Shia in the Vlozhny Yeshiva. He said like this, fantastic. You gotta love you. He said that Napoleon, I think I have told you this, but it's important to say it over again. Napoleon captured major parts of Europe. And wherever he'd go, he would not only win over the parts of the nation, he would attempt to change their culture. And he would he would franchise the entire area, and he'd make a big deal about his wins, and he'd win over, you know, he'd change the way people lived. And it wasn't just he came in there and he left. He came to one place and he took over a whole area of Europe somewhere, and he came and said, "Rabbi Sai, I took over this area. I've won over it. I want tomorrow night. I want to make a big asifa, big gathering. Everyone must come from the towns." All the people came. The peasants came, and the noblemen came, and they all came with their schmatters and their this, and they all came. He said, "Who's here? All the noblemen. Is a Christian here? Yes. Is a, I don't know. Is a Protestant here? Yes. So there's a Jew. Where's the Jew? I want the Jews here as well. I want a Jew." He says, "Why do you want a Jew?" I said, I want to give everyone an opportunity to talk." "Fine." So they look for a Jew. There's no Jew in this city. Find a little village, this little broken down rabbi, little broken down house, and he steps along here, and he eventually comes in front of Napoleon, and he sits down there, and with all the gaiva and all the thing, everyone else. And they all stand up and they say, "Napoleon, our saviour, and you're the greatest and the Lord and everything else, and you're the stronger, the mighty Napoleon," all giving him compliments. Then the Yid stands, Yid's turn, and the Yid says, "Listen, I don't know the protocol here. I don't know what you're supposed to say. What you're not supposed to say. Not how you're supposed to say the president, the law. I don't know. I can just tell you a shot in this week's parasha. I'll tell you this week's parasha. Vayeshev takes out a chumash, and he says,
this is a real story. Yeah?
This is a real story. No, I'm saying this story was said. This story said from the Zayin Torah. He heard it from the Briskerov. We heard it from Reb Chaim. We heard it ish mi pi ish from the person it happened to. It was mamish a direct thing. He brought down the story exactly where he heard it from. The Pasuk says in Perek Mem, Pasuk Yudalad, the Pasuk talks about when Yosef is relating, giving a perish to the different stories. Perek Mem, Pasuk Gimel Yudalad. It says there, it discusses over there where Yosef was giving the pitaron, the answer to what the dreams are talking about. The Pasuk says at the end that Yosef said to the Tsar Ha Mashkin, "Yeah, you're going to go out of jail, and by the way, Kiyim Zechartani Itcho." Ki? What's Kiyim Zechartani Itcho? What's Ki mean?
Hello.
So Rashi, Ki Asher. Asher. What's Asher? Because you should remember me. No, you should remember. So Kiyim Zechartani means if. Yeah, you remember me. Yeah, keep. So he said, no, I've got to finish out the pasuk. Kiyim Zechartani means because you shall remember me. Pasuk. Why are you sitting in jail? Doesn't make sense. You had this whole wine thing, and you know, it puts you in jail and everything else, and I just happened to be in the same jail. Now, why are you here? Because of me. You're only here because I'm here. And you're only here because I'm here to get me out of jail, that you should remind me to parry when the right time comes. You're only over here, Kiyim Zechartani. The only reason why you're here is only in order to remember me when I need you. That to remind Paro about me. Kiyim, it's because that you should remember about me, that's why you're here. So therefore, don't waste your whole time being in jail. Just going to jail, a waste of time. Kiyim Zechartani, remember, you're only in jail because of me, therefore when the right time comes, remember. Says the Jew to Napoleon, with all due respect, you're a lovely guy. I really think you're Napoleon, right? But do you know why you're winning over all this? Do you know why you're winning over this huge piece of land? Kiyim Zechartani. It's only to help the Jews. Kiyim Zechartani is only there to tell the Jews about all the suffering, to tell them about the Pale of Settlements, to open up the ghetto, to emancipate them. That is why you're here. Kiyim Zechartani. And if you don't do that, you should know you're going to suffer all your life. Kiyim Zechartani, remember? And Napoleon was impressed. He says, "I've heard enough flatteries to last me a lifetime. This is the first good Dvatari I've heard for a while." Right? Kiyim Zechartani. Kiyim Zechartani. And that's the idea. Don't let opportunities pass. It could be that you can reach a whole situation in life. And you know, and it looks like a headache. And what do I need this for? I'm trying to get to here. And it's getting in my way. And you know, let's just mow over this. Let's get rid of this and move on. No, Kiyim Zechartani. The whole purpose in life could be because of this. That knock on the door, Kuba, this is a knock on the door. That could be the Vayishma Ruve. That could be what you're hearing is only in order to answer that call. That is what's so important over here. There's a Mori de Gavot. I heard from Chaim Kaufman, Zichron Livracha. Fantastic, fantastic, fantastic thoughts. The Pasuk says, we have here the whole story. But he said, this is a Yisod. Halavai, more people knew it. And those people who didn't, who do know it, halavai, they've acted on it because the society looked very different. We have here the whole story of Yosef being sold to Mitzrayim. Then in the middle of Perek Lamed Ches, we talk about the whole story over here of Yehuda and Tamar. Just a quickly paraphrase story over here. Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda has two sons, Aaron and Oinon. They both die. Tamar is a daughter, is the wife of Er. And the Maisa, according to Halacha, the closest person to do Yibam is to do Yibam to her. But Yehuda didn't want to. I'm not going to the whole story over here. So she dressed up. And Yehuda didn't recognize her. She dressed up as a prostitute. Yehuda took her. The whole thing was a shame Shemayim. He didn't have any choice in the matter, etc., etc. And eventually, she's found to be pregnant. Now, she's the daughter of a Kohen. Of shame, I think. She's the daughter of a Kohen. And if her daughter, Bas Kohen, at Diznus, gets killed. So it gets Reifa. So she needs Mechuyah to get Sreifa. So she goes to Yehuda and go to the Beis Din, and Beis Din, yep, Sreifa. So before she gets killed, she manages to somehow very, very elegantly, there's a whole long of how she did it. She gave it to the two separate shluchim, didn't know what was going on. She gave a different sign to Yehuda that said, this is from you, remember? So Yehuda said, yes, Sodko Mimeni. Sodko, she's right, it's from me, and it's Mosem's Nus, she was right, the Kosh Baruch wanted me to do this, and it's Chalitza, and it's Yibum, etc., etc., and she didn't get killed. And what happened to his children? Malchus Beis David, Mashiach, and everything. Right? That was that story. So the Pasuk Perek Lamed Ches talks about this whole parasha, and then it carries on, and the parasha says in Perek Lamed Ches, "Vayyisayf Hurad Mitzrayim." And Yosef went down to Mitzrayim. The Lamed Ches Pasuk Aleph. There's a Pasuk Chozel in Harishon. We're going back to what we were talking about beforehand. Ela Shehivsik Boy. Okay, for Oid. Sorry, the Oid and Rashi. The Lismaich Maisa Isha Shal Potiphar and Maisa Tomo. You want to connect the Maisa of Potiphar, his wife, to the story of Tomo. Leimelech to tell you, Mal Zul Hashem Shemaim, Afzul Hashem Shemaim. Just like Tomo did at Hashem Shemaim, she knew that, she saw that Malchus Beit Dov was going to come out from her. So too, Potiphar's wife also did at Hashem Shemaim. Shirasa be'itzdrulugin shalah, astrology shalah, in her astrology. Shirasida lahamid bonim imenu. That she's going to have progeny from Yosef. Yeah? Ve'eni yadah, she didn't know, imimeno imibito, whether it's going to come from her or from her daughter. And that's what actually happened later on. The parasha says that when she married Bas Potiphar, daughter of Potiphar, which actually, Yosef married her daughter. His daughter, actually, right? Fine. So they both met the Shem Shemayim. They both sought the Shem Shemayim. Yeah? So what happened? They both did the Shem Shemayim. What happened? Tamar is looked at as the paradigm of Tzidkus. Greatness. The Gemara quotes the champions of Kibshon Shle'esh, not the Mavah Chavei Barabim. Unbelievable. And Tzedek is unbelievable. This Ashes Potiphar, she's Makulul and she's cursed and everything else. She's called. What happened? They both met the Shem Shemayim. What happened exactly? What separated them? At what stage did suddenly one go to Tzedekus, one become a Roshanta? What happened? Says Reb Chaim Kaufman, a very good thing. Let's look at Tomo. Tomo meant the Shem Shemayim. She knew that in order for Mashiach to come, she knew in order for Malchus Beis Dovid to exist, in order for Klal Yisrael to live in Eretz Yisrael, and for Mashiach to come in the future, she has to have this relations with Yehuda. She has to. She has to. It has to be. Fine. What happened? And it meant Shem Shemayim. What happened? She's found to be pregnant, bringing her to Beis, and we're going to kill her. So what's she going to do now? She could say, Yehuda, step up, you know, remember? Or she can do this kind of action, and Yehuda can either admit or not admit. What if he doesn't admit? She gets killed. What happens to Mashiach? Yeah. Doesn't exist. What happens to Dovid HaMelech? Doesn't exist. So what's she saying? But it has to exist. Huh. The answer is, I'm doing something to Shem Shemayim. If I'm doing something to Shem Shemayim, I have to do what I have to do. And it has to be done 100% MS. I can't do something to Shem Shemayim and harm anybody else in the process. It could be by doing so completely, Mashiach may not come. It could be Dor HaMelech won't be born. Doesn't matter. I have to do what I have to do. That's not my problem. If anything I am doing, the ends do not justify the means. The ends do not justify the means. If the means are wrong, then the whole thing is wrong. Tzedek, tzedek tirdoif. Tzedek has got to be chased with tzedek. You've got to chase tzedek with tzedek. You can't, if it, that's it. But Tomo, you've got two children inside you, going to be a mom. Okay, that's not my problem, it's Hashem's problem. I've got to do what I have to do. I'm going to get killed for it? Let me get killed for it. But what are you doing already? You're Yehuda. And Yehuda, will you apologize to him later on? He'll understand. You apologize to him later on. Not such an embarrassment, because he can explain it. It'll shame you, boom, and you didn't explain it. Give a hold of our Torah and Shul the next day and explain why it is and put it on the papers and have an opinion page. He'll understand. No, but there's a small Indian here of not Hashem Shemayim. I don't know. No, that's not for me. I'm not doing something that's not Hashem Shemayim. What's the biggest dogma for this? The Vlozhin Yeshiva. Vlozhin Yeshiva. Shiva's Vlozhin was the dream of Rechaim Vlozhin, the father of all yeshivas. This is the yeshiva. All the yeshivas came out from Vlozhin. Right? All the yeshivas. They learned Torah 24 hours a day there. To get into yeshiva, had to learn Masechtos Baal Peh. What happened? The Russians came in and said you got to start teaching with a chuluk. A few hours a day. Not just that we closed the Gemaras. Not making you form yeshiva. A few hours a day. So who closed it? Who closed it again? The Nitziv, nothing for you to Berlin, says Rabbi Yisai. There's no way that a Vlozhin yeshiva is going to teach him with a chol. It's lots of option. Yes, we close the yeshiva. What do you mean? Where is Bochum going to learn? What's going to be Vlozhin yeshiva? I don't know. It's not my problem. I cannot allow yeshiva to continue if the means are wrong. That's it. Vlozhin yeshiva, what's going to be the yeshiva? It's the flagship yeshiva. Lock the door. I don't want nothing to do with this. That is what happened with Tomor. What happened to Potiphar? The wife, Ashes Potiphar, she also saw the same thing. Shem Shemayim. But also Shem Shemayim, she has to be with Yosef. So what do you have to do? We torture him. I'm going to blind you, she says to him. Hashem Pekeach Ivrim. I'm going to cripple you. I'm going to put you in jail. Hashem Mati Asurim. Yosef wasn't afraid. Blinding you. You know, fine, I can't blind you, I can't this, I'm going to slander you. Slander me. You slandered him, put him in jail. All the shame Shemayim. Because he has to be together with Yosef. That is the opposite of what happens when you do the shame Shemayim, it's not the shame Shemayim. Once you see the shame Shemayim starting harming people, and once you're affecting one person to the smallest iota, you're upsetting them, step back. That's not the shame Shemayim, that's you. That's your agenda. People open up yeshivas, people open up schools, people open up shuls, and they're all the same Shemayim. Once you start upsetting people, and once you start annoying people, and once the rov is no good, so you throw out the rov, it's all the same Shemayim. We open up a gemach, and you start offending people, then Rabbi Yisai, you're no longer Tomor, you're Ashes Potiphar. That is a lesson. That's Ashes Potiphar. That is a lesson. That is what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's all about identifying where I'm supposed to be working in Shem Shemayim, and when I'm supposed to step back and say this is no longer me. I'm a Shiach and I don't want a Melech. Okay, let Hashem worry about it. It's not my problem. That is a koyach of the between the two. You know, and that's godless. That's godless. And what is godless? Well, that's a fascinating thing about Hanukkah. There are three places in benching, three places where you say God love a Kodesh. By Shabbos, you say, Kiyoyim is the God of a Kodesh Lefanecho. Have you heard this before? In the say, Kiyoyim is the God of a Kodesh Lefanecho. We say, by the base of Mikdosh, Vabai is the God of a Kodesh Nikoshim Cholov. And at Hanisim, we say, Vasisu Shem God of a Kodesh. Sisu Shem God of a Kodesh. What is God and what is Kodesh? Shabbos. Shabbos is Kodesh. You understand, it's holiness to it. Base Minish is Kodesh. For sure, you go inside there with your Tommy, you get Misa. Yeah? Vasisu Shem Godol v'Kodesh, your name is Godol v'Kodesh. But fine. What does Godol mean? Big. What's big? What's big about Shabbos for 24 hours? What's big about Shabbos? What's big about this Mikdosh? It's big. It wasn't so big. We learned it. It's not so big, right? And Shem Godol v'Kodesh, what's Godol about Hashem saying big? What does big mean? Shem Revolba says, Amari de Gavar. Shem Revolba says, big is when we have control over something. When I stand over something and control it, that's big. Shabbos, Friday, the phones are ringing, your email's coming in, you got faxes, you got people. Fine. It's 10 minutes before Shabbos, close the business, I rush home, I have a shower, I step into my Shabbos clothes, Kol melachtecha osay. Everything's been done already. That's big. That's big. A big means you're standing over something. You have koyach to control something else. That's big. That's Shabbos. Shabbos, when you bring Shabbos in, that's big. Everything going on, I have control. I'm in charge here. Beis HaMikdash, you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, we have the Beis HaMikdash, you've got to leave behind your makla, you've got to leave behind your stick, you've got to leave behind your shoes, you've got to leave behind your money belt. Physicalities. I'm above this. I am leaving behind physical, I'm going to spiritual. I am in control of spiritual and physical. That's big. That's big. That's Godel. And what's Chanukah? What's Chanukah? Chanukah is big when you realize that you are able to control the world if a Kodesh Baruch Hu is on your side. That's the Yevonim. And the fight between the Maccabim and Yevonim. Physical, it wasn't Shaykh to win. But I'm big. I can control the world. If I'm doing the right thing, Godel, I can control the world. That's godless. That's massive. That's huge. I am in control of the whole world. Nobody can stop me doing anything if I do the right thing. I was going to be, you may be killed. I do the right thing. That's a shame Shemayim. I don't know what's going to happen. I make my whole family may be killed, suicide, but I have to do the right thing. That's Godel. Godel means I'm in control. I don't know what's going to happen, but I am in control. Toma was a big woman. She didn't know what's going to happen, but she was in control. I am controlling my life. I'm not allowing anything to go wrong, to do anything wrong just for the sake of the shame Shemayim. Let me just finish off with this.
Kodesh
is Kodesh. I understand what Kodesh is. You know, Kodesh is separated, is holy. You know, that's fine. Now, how did Yosef survive in Mitzrayim? How did Yosef survive in Mitzrayim? Yosef survived in Mitzrayim, and just last of all, Yosef survived in Mitzrayim. The pasuk says that Yosef said, she said to Yosef, you know, let's do that very together. Yosef said, what are you talking about? My family are Nevi'im. I can't do this. Somebody in my family was ready to do the Akedah. I can't do this. Yeah? I'm going to be at Urim and Thummim. I can't do this. Let me ask you a question. Say, I can't do this because it's Osa. Not because I'm a Navi, and not because of, I'm a Navi, you know, our family in the Vim. I can't do this because it's Osa for me to be with you. Yeah? I can't do this because, you know what, one day Hashem may want me to be in Akedah, and, you know, I won't be a very good offering for an Akedah if I didn't listen to you. So I'm sorry about that, but it's a bit of a technicality here. I may become Yitzchak was a Akedah, I may also be an Akedah, sorry. Yeah? Oh, Urim Tumim. Yeah, sorry, Urim Tumim. I'm going to be in... Just say, you know what, the Satan Torah is Osa, there's Osa, finish, take a hike. What's the idea here? So Pshat is, what did Eishas Potiphar say to Yosef? Yosef, you're not Godel, you're nothing left of you. There's nothing left. You're Mitzrayim now. Nobody's ever left Mitzrayim. You know when slaves ever left Mitzrayim? Do you know when slaves ever left Mitzrayim? It wasn't magic. It was brainwash. Nobody is great. You slaves are so weak that we can never leave our you can never leave. We are so powerful over you. They got them so controlled that it wasn't possible to leave. Pshat is, a slave just couldn't leave. You know the Nazis in Machshimon. You can have one Nazi officer who could control hundreds and hundreds of Jews. You know, as a kid, I always thought to myself, you know, I'll hide behind a thing, yeah, and I'll jump out of him, and I'll take his gun, and I'll shoot him, and then I get dressed in Nazi clothes, and then I'll go along and catch other Nazis, and shoot those other Nazis, getting my friends to wear their Nazi clothes, and then get the tanks, and then, you know, and we all look like Nazis, we're going to go in there and... Why didn't that happen? Because Jews didn't try, of course they tried. Those few tried, but generally, Jews didn't try because they were vermin. As far as in their own eyes, they couldn't do it. And no slave can leave Mitzrayim because why should I ever leave Mitzrayim? I'm a slave. What's going to be with me? I'm lost. I'm nothing. They got so downtrodden that there's nothing left of them to want to leave Mitzrayim. That's why no slave ever left Mitzrayim. So Eishas Potiphar to Yosef, what are you, you little Jew? You're Mitzrayim now. Forget about it. You're going to leave Mitzrayim. You're here. You forget it. You're nothing left. So Yosef, what? I'm nothing? What are you talking about? I'm godless. I'm great. My family on the Vien. I'm nobody. What a chutzpah. My grandfather was going to be an Akedah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm nothing. I'm not going to be an Olam HaTumim. How dare you speak to me like that? That's godless. That's greatness. And that is why Yosef managed to survive Mitzrayim. Because we're great. We are Godel, we're Kodesh, we're above everything else. And that's the idea that we're in control, we can control every situation. In the Hanukkah we say, that Hanukkah, what's the idea? Hanukkah will be less than 10 tefachim. The Hanukkah is supposed to be less than 10 tefachim high. What's the idea behind that? Because it said that the Shekhinah never goes less than 10 tefachim high. Shekhinah always rides above 10 tefachim. So why do you light the menorah less than 10 tefachim? To show that we can even light. We're in control of where the Bein Shalom is going to be. We're Godel, that we can light where Kodesh Baruch is going to be. We're Godel. We got all the Kodesh. Even at Kodesh Baruch Hu, less than 10 tefachim, but we make mitzvahs right there. We make mitzvahs to show that we are in control of where the mitzvahs are going to be. The Gemara says that even those Neiris are not kosher for Shabbos, or kosher for Psilos, not kosher for Chanukah. What is Psilos? There's three things. Psilos, Shemen and Neir. Rosh HaTevis, Nefesh. The Nefesh that is not generally Ro'i for the whole year round, for Shabbos, is possible for Shabbos, a person doesn't get inspired by Shabbos, it's kosher for Chanukah, is inspired for Chanukah. Chanukah is a whole new level. Chanukah is realizing that we're Godel and Kodesh. We can win over everything. We can win over everything. Every Avani, every situation, every Tumah, every Yetzirah, we can win over. There's nothing to stop us. But we've just got to know on the other side as well. We've got to listen to it. We've got to hear the call. We've got to realize that we mustn't lose any opportunities. As a kid once heard a joke. Knock, knock. You know this knock, knock joke? Who's there? Opportunity. Can't be. Why not? Opportunity doesn't knock twice. Yeah? That is the idea. That you've got to realize open door the first opportunity. The Gemara says in three times on the Avodah Zarah. It says that there were three people who died, Bochor Rebbe. The Gemara in Dafyudim Abbas, Gemara Yudzainim Abbas, and Yudkesim Adalas. The Gemara said three times of different people who died, Akedish Hashem, and Bochor Rebbe. And Rebbe said, Bochor Rebbe, what's Rebbe cry? Yesh koin elomu b'sha'achas. The person's koin elomu in one time. Why Bochor Rebbe? Why did Rebbe cry? Gewaldig! Fantastic, I can be koin elomu like them. The answer is how many opportunities he cried about. That I had koin elomu and I missed them. We've got to grab the opportunities. We've got to grow and grow and grow. Yeah.